You're listening to an audio resource from Vineyard Church of the Rockies in Fort Collins, Colorado. We are joining God's mission, transforming all things, and you're invited. To learn more about us and how you can connect, please visit votr.church.
Leader. Well, today is an exciting day because I get to just kind of sit in the front row and hang out. I'm not preaching today. Corey Schunig, our pastoral resident, is preaching this morning. A part of our, you might not know this, but we have a residency program here at the Vineyard where we take people who feel called to ministry and are merging into their gifting, and we walk alongside of them for a couple of years, sharpening them, equipping them, and releasing them for significant ministry. And Corey runs our youth, but she's also going to preach today. We've been going through preaching training for a while now. Of course, Corey and I, our history goes way back. And so I'm just thrilled that she'll be able to share with you this morning. I'd love to pray for her. But before we do that, can we welcome her up on stage? Can you guys show her some love this morning? Corey, come on up. And join me in prayer. You know, Natalie preached a couple of weeks ago that when we gather, we're not just trying to hear from a pastor. We're trying to hear from the Lord. And if you have a heart to hear from the Lord this morning, I know that he will speak to you through Corey this morning. So join me in prayer for all that Corey will share. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would fall upon Corey right now. Fill her words with your power. Fill her words with your weight. Anoint her to preach. And open our hearts to hear from you this morning, Lord. We came and we gathered so that we would have an experience with the living God. And we know that worship is part of that. We know that opening your word and hearing someone preach is part of that. We know ministry time is part of that. So, Lord, come and have your way in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Jeff. Well, you guys, I am so excited that I get to share with you this morning. I'd love to start by telling you guys a little bit about my history here at Vineyard of the Rockies. I've been here for 12 years, and it's actually the only church I've ever called home. The first time I came to the Vineyard was in third grade when my best friend invited my whole family to church. I don't remember much. I remember the kiditorium, of course, the singing flowers. They were singing flowers back then, believe it or not, playing on the swing set and the modulars on the side of the building. There were these modulars that all the kidsmen met in, so I remember those too. But that's about it. My family tried a few churches after that, but we didn't really end up going anywhere. Then, when I was 14 years old, we had neighbors who had become good family friends, and the mom happened to be a youth leader here at the Vineyard. So, after my parents told us that they were getting a divorce, this neighbor invited my siblings and I to come to youth group. Now, she sold us when she talked about the games and the free food, which is a youth group must, by the way, if you like games and free food. Every Wednesday, we've got both of those things. But she knew that what we really needed in this hard time was Jesus. So she invited us to the Vineyard. I was nervous, but I went. And as soon as we broke into small groups, my leader said that we would be sharing our life stories to get to know each other a little bit. And that's a kind of an intense way to get to know each other. Like, hi, nice to meet you. Here's my entire life. And if I'm honest, at this point, I wasn't too sure what I had gotten myself into. I kind of just wanted to go home. Like, are they just going to judge me? Do I share everything about my story or just the nice parts? Maybe they won't want me to come back if I share everything. These were some of the thoughts that were going through my head. I was nervous. No one had really asked me to share my life story before. I was brand new to this church, basically brand new to Christianity, and had no clue who these people were. But I went for it. I shared what was going on in my life, and I just remember crying. And I don't just mean a sniffle. I mean like teenage girl going through a big life change, crying. My parents were going through a divorce, but I also had a lot of other things going on in my life at this time. So I showed up to the Vineyard very emotional, vulnerable, and weak. And I just remember my youth leader and the other students in my group being so kind. They welcomed me and encouraged me in the middle of my mess, and I was able to be so broken and so loved at the same time. I just remember it feeling really safe. And what I've learned about the Vineyard is that we've always been really good at holding these two things together. I've always been able to be broken and loved at the same time here, and I'm really thankful for that. That night, I knew whatever this Jesus thing was about, I wanted to be a part of it. I gave my life to Jesus in the warehouse, that building right back there, and I can tell you exactly where I was sitting when it happened. It was incredible. I'll never forget the night I gave my life to Jesus. That night changed the direction of my life. God gripped my heart, and I never turned back. And this might be where you're at today. You might be at church, sitting in this room, or watching on the live stream, realizing that you need to make a decision to follow Jesus too. And later on in our service, I would love to help you do that. Because if my life can be a testimony to you, following Jesus changed everything. It changed everything. After I gave my life to Christ, this church became home base for me. Growing up in Fort Collins, we moved around a lot, so I don't have one place that is my childhood home. But every time I would walk through the front doors of this church, I felt like I was coming home. That's kind of the closest thing I can compare it to. It's what it felt like. This place was something in my life that was steady, consistent, and safe. And I remember just wishing I could be in this building all week. Now I am, but but I remember I just want to be here. I just want to be here as much as I can. But since then, so much of my life has happened in this church. I gave my life to Jesus here. I prayed out loud for the first time, up in that hallway, actually. I was baptized at the Vineyard and the Baptuzzi, just like everyone else. And I started leading worship here when I was 16. I learned to play guitar right here on this stage. Now, I didn't know how to play guitar, so they probably shouldn't have let me up here. I pretty much just played the G chords and skipped the rest, if I'm honest. I just kind of like palm muted and played pretended. But that's what happened. So I learned how to play guitar right here. And after experiencing a call to ministry at our winter youth retreat, Whiteout, you've maybe heard of that before, I moved to Kansas City for ministry training where I met Jeff and Natalie. Then I moved back here when that was done, and little did I know they'd be called to come back here just a few months later. That's a really cool story for another time, but it's a good story. So much of my family life has happened here too. I met my husband Josh in this church. My daughter Finley crawled for the first time in the sound booth back there. She took her first steps in the nursery. And now the youth here feel like older brothers and sisters to my daughter. And we're going to do this all over again in October when our second child is born. So we're very excited. So much of my life and story has happened and will continue to happen at this church. And now I've been on staff here for 5 years, continually being poured into while also pouring into others, and it's been amazing. The people I get to work with and do life with have truly become family. Like, I'm not just saying that. Jeff officiated our wedding, and the rest of the staff was there too. Most of them met my daughter in the hospital and have continued to walk so closely with me and my family. This church has been such a gift to my life. And now the first time I will preach at our church is right here today. Another memory, another moment in my story at the Vineyard. And if I'm honest, it's a little surreal to follow in the footsteps of so many people I've looked up to. It's an honor to be here with you guys this morning. Clearly, my life has been impacted by people who have invested in me. And our passage this morning is actually about a discipleship relationship between Paul and Timothy. If you don't know much about them, Paul was much older. He knew Timothy's grandmother, Lois, and Timothy was like a child in the Lord to Paul. Paul mentored him, invested in him, gave him pastoral responsibility, and guided him in his leadership. In the book we're reading today, Paul writes a letter to Timothy, who is leading the church in Ephesus. Paul is dealing with false teachers and corrupt principals, so Paul is writing to help him instruct the church and encourage him because he was younger than most of the people he was leading. And looking at this room, I can kind of resonate with that this morning. I might understand why Timothy would need some encouragement as he's leading. So let's go ahead and look at our scripture for this morning. We are in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. It says, "Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity." I love this passage for so many reasons. But you'll notice he says to be an example in five ways: in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity. Now, take a moment and look at this list. These things are so practical, but also so important to think about. How do you speak? How do you live your day-to-day life? How do you love others? How do you live out your faith, and how are you pursuing a life of purity? Here's a helpful way to reflect on this. If someone outside the faith were to follow you around for 24 hours, what would they learn about the way that you live your life? What example would they see you setting? Would your life point them to Jesus? This is good to think about. But here's the thing I really want to focus in on this morning. He lists these five things, but they find significance in the phrase that comes before them. Their value is defined by how Paul starts his sentence. Be an example. That's the title of this message. Be an example. It's what allowed me to go from third grade to 14 years old, to ministry training, to coming back here, to leading and teaching today. When I was a teenager here, I watched the people around me and the example they set. I watched my leaders, the pastors, and my peers. I saw what they were doing, how they were acting, and what example they were setting. I prayed out loud because I had seen other people pray, and people had prayed for me. I lead worship because someone saw me and invited me into the worship team, and I had examples and leaders who invested in me and helped me grow as a worship leader. The way I lead our youth is definitely impacted by the example that was set for me when I was a teenager here in our youth group. I invite people to church because we're invitational, but also because I was invited twice, and it changed my life. Growing up here, I was watching. Whether I realized it or not, I was watching and learning from what people said, the way they lived their lives, the way they loved, how they lived out their faith, and how they pursued a life of purity. I was watching. And now, as I read this scripture, I see myself resonating with both Paul and Timothy. I resonate with Paul because I'm leading our youth, but I resonate with Timothy because I'm still being led by others. And in this room right now, we have Paul's and we have Timothy's. And you're always a little bit of both because that's just how Christian discipleship works. But we have people in the room who are leaning more towards the Paul time of their lives and people who are leaning more towards the Timothy time of their lives. I want to talk to the Timothys of the room for a minute. First of all, Paul makes it very clear in this passage that no one is exempt from leadership because of their age. No one is too young to be a leader and set an example. So young people, you are leaders. You are leaders. Look at our youth. Most of them lead in the community, in their schools, and our church. Not many know this, but when it comes to youth ministry here at the Vineyard, we have an adult leadership team who serve on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. Whoop, whoop. We're very thankful for them. But we also have a student leadership team. And the best part about that is I didn't start it. The students started it. Last fall, a middle schooler came up to me and said, "Hey, we should start a student leadership team." It's actually his first night at youth group ever. He was a sixth grader. And he was like, "This is great. We need a student leadership team." And I said, "Yes, done. Let's do it. We're going to make this happen." And we launched it in January of this year. We want to empower the Timothys of our church and raise up the next generation. And part of that is giving away real opportunities to lead. God has always placed great confidence in youth. All the disciples were young. They started the church, shared the gospel, and most of them were martyred for their faith. God uses the young and trusts them with his kingdom and has great plans for them. We are going to need thousands of Timothys to join God's mission in transforming all things. But we're also going to need a whole bunch of Pauls. The youth here are pouring into others, and others are pouring into them. Timothys are leaders, yes, but every Timothy also needs a Paul. We have youth leaders who show up on Sundays and Wednesdays and pour their lives into our kids. They celebrate with them on the good weeks, are present with them on the hard weeks, and encourage them as they wrestle with their faith. If you're a Timothy in the room and you don't have someone pouring into you, I would encourage you to just ask someone. Who is someone you see setting an example that you want to follow? Someone you look up to and admire. Ask them to invest in you, to meet with you once a month and just help you walk through life and process. It can feel scary to make the ask, but there have been so many times in my life already that I've just gone up to someone and said, "Hi, I really look up to you. I would love to learn from you and follow you as you follow Jesus. Would you mentor me?" And no one has ever said no when I have asked them that. They've always said yes. Now, back to the Pauls in the room. Because I had Pauls in my life, I am so passionate about youth ministry. Because I had leaders who saw me, invested in me, prayed for me, and walked with me through the good and the bad, and it changed my life. I would be so excited if the Lord would use me to do that for even one teen in our church. I want to be an example for our youth. I want to be an example in what I say, in the way I live, in the way I love, in my faith, in my purity. I want to pour my life into our youth. People did that for me, and now I want to do that for others. I've grown up a Timothy in this church, and now I get to be a Paul. And just like I said to the Timothys, the same applies to the Pauls. You are not exempt from leadership because of your age. There are people in our church who are retired but have decided that they're not done serving or learning. For some of you, being a Paul might mean signing up for kids or youth ministry. Did you know that we have a woman in her 70s who pours her life into our middle schoolers every Wednesday? And she mentors a high school student monthly. There's a 72-year-old man who's invited a 30-year-old guy to church, and they sit together every Sunday. Their relationship even exists beyond church. He didn't just invite him to church. They do life together. We even have a teen mom who's now in her 30s who's walking with other teen moms and encouraging them as they navigate motherhood. These are just a few examples of Paul's leading Timothys in our church. Who are the Timothys of your world, and how are you being an example to them? If you don't know what to do, start with lunch. Take them out to lunch and pay for it. Pauls tend to have more money than Timothys, okay? And there's a bunch of Timothys in this room who I know would love a free lunch. Okay, so just start with lunch. It almost doesn't matter who it is. Just look around the room, pick someone, and ask if you can take them out to lunch and hear about their life. Start there. If you want a good book to read on how to do this, I highly recommend The Master Plan of Evangelism. I put a link to this book in my sermon notes if you want to check it out, but this is probably one of my favorite books. In my opinion, it should be titled The Master Plan of Discipleship. This book tells you how to make disciples by doing it the way Jesus did, and Jesus largely made disciples by doing life with them. I love this book for so many reasons. One, because it's short Okay, I'm gonna be honest. I like to read, but I'm not much into stories. So this book is really straight to the point. Look how small and compact it is. There's not a lot of words. That's my kind of book. So I'm a big fan. But more than that, I love this book because it makes discipleship so simple. We tend to make this so much more complicated than it needs to be. A few weeks ago, I was sitting at Bindle working on this very message, and there were two guys sitting next to me. Now, if you've ever been to Bindle, you know that all of the tables are right next to each other, and you can hear everyone's conversation, even if you aren't trying to eavesdrop, okay? I'm just gonna put that out there, okay? You can hear everything. Anyways, these two guys clearly had a Paul and Timothy relationship. They were sitting at a table, drinking coffee, and talking about life. The younger guy, we'll call him Timothy, was talking about some of the things going on in his life. And the older guy, we'll call him Paul, was helping him process. Then they were talking about scripture, and Paul was helping Timothy understand what the scriptures were saying and how it applied to his life. Paul was recommending books to Timothy and encouraging him to grow. Now, I didn't hear their whole conversation, but again, it's Bindle. You're basically on top of each other. I heard bits and pieces, and I put the puzzle together. It was casual, it was simple, it was life on life discipleship. And this is what we are called to as Christians, to be discipled and to disciple others. It doesn't have to be complicated. Don't underestimate the power of sitting across from someone in a coffee shop, sipping coffee and talking about life. It's through these mundane, day-to-day conversations that life change happens. You don't need to have all the right answers or ask all of the right questions. Just invite the Holy Spirit into your time and be present with the person you're discipling. Very often, that's the thing people need. Someone who listens to them, prays for them, and invests in their journey. That's simple, right? It's simple, but it's powerful. If you disciple three people who then go on to disciple three people, who then each go on to disciple three people, you're almost at 30 people being discipled. It's a lot of people. Don't do the math. I did it. It's 30, I promise. It's almost 30 people being discipled. But start with your one or your three and disciple them. Then tell them to go and do that same thing with someone else. To this day, I disciple others because I have been discipled and am continuing to be discipled. And this isn't just something you do if you work at a church. In the Vineyard, we believe that everyone gets to play. This is for all of us. Like the volunteer who invited me to church when I was 14 years old. She wasn't paid staff. She wasn't working out some complex evangelism plan. No, she was just being a neighbor. She was being a Paul to someone in her neighborhood who was hurting. She saw me, invited me, and invested in me. Just a girl in her neighborhood. Every single one of us in this room is a leader. Whether you think of yourself as a leader or not, we're all leading someone. We all have people in our lives who watch our example. We may not realize this, but that doesn't make it less true. It could be your neighbor, students, kids, family, coworkers, the people you cut off in traffic and they see your Vineyard Church of the Rockies sticker on the back of your car. I don't know. I'll let you discern what kind of example that sets to the people around you. Whatever circles you are in, people are watching. So who are you leading and what do they see when they watch? Someone was Paul to me, and now I am Paul to someone else. People did this for me, and now I am doing this for someone else. I'm living proof that if you give your life to the youth of this church, to the next generation, the kingdom will grow. The kingdom of God will grow. This church is filled with youth leaders, business leaders, future mothers and fathers, and maybe even pastors. But every Timothy needs a Paul, and every Paul needs a Timothy. This is discipleship. Think about your own journey. Have you had a Paul in your life? As I was working on this message, I thought back on all of the people who've invested in me over the last 12 years. It wasn't just one person. God used so many people to work out his good plans in my life. One of my favorite worship songs is Goodness of God, because when I look back over my life and think about all the good and the bad, God has been so good through it all. He's been so faithful every step of the way. I would have never imagined that my life would be what it is today. And a huge part of his goodness in my life has been the people he has brought into it. There was a season in my life when I wanted as many people as possible to invest in me. I was meeting with a mentor once a week, a therapist, and a spiritual director. I was so hungry to learn and grow that I just kept asking people to meet with me. Anyone who would say yes, we'll put it on the calendar, let's do it. There was one girl I met with for a while who was helping me read the Bible. And I just remember being so inspired by how she flipped through the Bible. You could tell she knew this book. The word was written on her heart. Her Bible was ragged from how much she read it, and she could just flip to any book of the Bible without looking it up in the table of contents, which really impressed me. It's like, I'm gonna be able to do that. I'm gonna know the Bible. So I asked if I could learn from her. I was so inspired to know the Bible like her that I just asked if we could meet and talk about the Bible. And so that's what we did. When I got engaged and was getting ready to be married, I met with women that I admired and asked them to meet with me and pour into me. I wanted to learn from them. I wanted to grow as I was preparing to become a wife. I have had all sorts of people invest in me in many different ways, in many different seasons of my life. And person by person, conversation by conversation, and prayer by prayer, I've been discipled. Who have been your Pauls? What about a Timothy? Who needs to be your Timothy? One of the first places I volunteered at the Vineyard was in our kids' ministry. I have Timothys that I've known here at this church since they were in second grade. And now many of those same kids just graduated high school this month. Some of those kids I've invested in, mentored, and walked with for the last 10 years. And it's had its ups and its downs. But when you stay committed to people, you will see fruit. It might be a long time from now, but you are planting seeds and you will see fruit. Back in March, I took a bunch of our students up to Whiteout, that same retreat where God called me into ministry. And during one of the sessions, I was standing behind our students and I was just sobbing. Now, I cried a lot at Whiteout this year, okay? I was already pregnant at the time, so I could have just been emotional or sick to my stomach, and it was a youth retreat, so I was exhausted. But all those things aside, this time, I was crying because right in front of me was one of those students I've known since she was in second grade. Her faith journey has had some really high highs, and it's had some really low lows. We've walked through a lot together in the last 10 years. And I stood there that night watching her worship, and her hands were just in the air, fully surrendered to God. And not just like the hype of youth camp, she was truly worshiping God. And seeing that after 10 years of praying, loving, and mentoring this person was powerful. It was so powerful. And we could all have stories like this. We could all have stories like this. There is so much fruit in life when we invest our lives in other people and just trust the process to God. This feels like an awkward time to say this, but if you're looking for a next step, I put a volunteer link in my sermon notes. I didn't expect to cry, so it seemed more natural. Anyways, for you to serve in kids or youth ministry, because we could always use more leaders for the next generation. Clearly, serving the kids and youth of our church has impacted my life greatly. But no matter how you respond, there's fruit when you pour your life into other people and commit to it over the long haul. It transforms their life, but it also transforms your own, because we were made to disciple others and to be discipled. This is what we are called to. I want to close by reading our scripture together one more time. In 1 Timothy. Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity. Let's pray.